Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I'm grateful for this church. I just want y'all to know this, and I love a new year. I just love a new year. January 1st, the calendar rose to another, it goes to a new year, January 1st. And when that happens, I enjoy it when I get up because I don't see it when it comes in. I'm already asleep. I don't know about you, but January 1st is exciting at about 8 o'clock in the morning. Because I get up and I'm like, man, it's a new year, it's a new day, and there's an excitement. And I'm always thrilled because God has given a vision for our church each and every year. And as I go back and look at all those, I'm always amazed at what God has done. Every year, starting about the summer months, I really start praying and seeking God and His direction for our church. And in September, Tim and I get together, our pastor in Hot Springs, and we talk about what it is that God is doing in our church that we need to be really focused on and moving towards. And so the question that we have each year is, where do we need to go as a church? Where do we need, as a church, as the body of Christ here, right here at the end of a road, at the end of Riley Drive, in the middle of a bunch of different communities, because we have a bunch of communities represented, where does this church need to go? What does our focus, what does our theme, our vision need to be? Now, let me just tell you where this comes from every year. It's no different every year. Most often, God speaks to His people through His Word. And to hear from God, you have to spend time in the Word. And so I had been reading, and I just think this is an amazing thing. I had been reading in Acts, and I read in Acts a lot. I like the first of Acts at the church because I like the church to look like God called the church to look like. And so I start reading in Acts, which is a lot about how the church looks and how it operated. And so I'm reading, and I get a call from Tim, and he's been reading in the book of Acts. And he says, hey, read Acts 1:3. And so I read a verse that I have read many times, and we start expounding and we start talking about this verse. Let me start with a verse out of Psalm 119:105 today. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. All right, everybody goes, well, I know that verse. Well, I'm glad you do. And if you don't, welcome to Scripture. That's a really good one. God's word is referred to as a lamp and a light. Now, I can get into the distinctions, and I have preached on those a lot, but here's what you can know. The lamp and the light both do one thing that is the same, and it illuminates or gets rid of darkness. It dispels darkness. That's what a lamp does. That's what light does, a lamp and light. And then, so I'm reading in Acts 1:3. Let's read this together. During the 40 days, after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. It's really me. It's really me. That's what he's saying. I'm proving to you I'm alive. And then he talked to them, it says, about what? The kingdom of God. Talk to them about the kingdom of God. Now I want to stop right there. We're talking about Jesus here. He has been resurrected. He has came out of the grave. Death could not hold him. And here's Jesus, and he's walking around, it says, for 40 days. Now, here's what I want you to know. It's only 40 days. But from time to time during this 40-day period, he appeared to the apostles. And as I read this, I think, okay, this is very important, and this is what Tim and I were talking about as we're excited about what's God's laying on our heart through His Word and speaking into our hearts. And I want to point out the first thing that happened after death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him any longer. So he is alive, and what the first thing he is he says, I'm proving to you that I'm alive. Why he kept showing up in their life. He kept showing up in their life. He kept showing up in their life. I don't know about you and your position in life before salvation, but do you remember before salvation, it seemed like every time you turned a corner, there he is again. There he is again. Oh, man, I'm feeling compelled, and I'm feeling, and miraculously he shows himself. And this is what he was doing with the apostles. He was proving that he was alive. Now, here's what I want you to know. As a church, nationwide, if you will, worldwide, as evangelical church that believes in Jesus, we have spent a lot of time trying to prove to everybody he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And it's imperative that we tell the world he's alive. So don't, I'm not diminishing that. That was one of the things of the two that he did after he was resurrected and came back for these 40 days. I want to see what he did during those 40 days, because this was after the promise was fulfilled that God gave his son. The promise has been fulfilled, and so there's 40 days. What did Jesus do during that 40 days? He proved to everybody he's alive. And what I'm telling you is that's what the church has done primarily only. Is trying to prove to everybody he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Now, I believe this morning that if I was just to say, how many of y'all believe he's alive, we'd have hands everywhere, because I don't have to prove that to you. Jesus did that 2,000 years ago, proving that he was alive, and I think that was an important step. He proved that to him. Now, I'm not against the church still trying to prove that today. The problem is that we have left it at only the one step of the two that he accomplished while he was here. See, after you have been proven in your heart that he's alive, you get that proven in you, and you get what? Saved. I accept Jesus. I believe in what he did. Why was he proven to them he was alive? Because he wanted them to believe that he was alive. Why does he show up in our lives? To prove that he's alive. Are you getting this point? Yeah. Yeah. He has proven to me that he's alive. No one can disprove that. Yeah. No one can convince me that he's not alive. I serve a risen Savior. Yeah. The blood can be applied because of what he did on the cross, and the reason it's important is because it was the perfect sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that was followed by a promise, and the promise was that you would have a death and a burial of the sacrifice, but you'd have a resurrection. He's alive. So we all understand that first point, and we're like, praise God. Here's the part that God laid on my heart. Because if we look at those 40 days, would you not think that during those 40 days, what he talked about was important? Yeah. It would, in fact, not just important, that what he talked about during those 40 days should be a priority for us. And not only should it be a priority, it should be an absolute must for the life of a Christian. So we, even to enter into Christianity, have to believe that he's alive. But the most important, pressing issue for these 40 days is Acts 1:3 at the end of it. It says he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Now, I kind of personally wish during those 40 days he'd have talked a little bit more about what we should do with our money, probably how we should stay happily married all the time. It would be good if he talked about how to raise teenagers. It'd be good how to function in a society that seems to just left God all out of it. It'd be good to talk about how to deal with a pandemic. It'd be good to talk about, see, I've got a lot of thoughts of what during those 40 days he should, but no, his final 40 days after resurrection was he talked about the kingdom of God. Now I ask myself, how can this not be a priority for the church? So I'm just going to go on record today of apologizing to the church because we haven't spent enough time on this. And it was revealed to me at the end of last year that we've not done a real good job of talking about what Jesus did after resurrection. We've done a real good job on apologetics and doing everything we could to prove that he's alive to people that already believe that he is. But what we've got to take some time and spend it on now is the kingdom of God. Our theme for 2022 is the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to talk about this. Because if we don't seek the kingdom of God, we're missing what God has called us to do. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live right, live righteously, live in good standing with the Lord. And he will give you everything you're in need of. Matthew 6:33 in the New King James Version, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I like to use both versions because one is understood easier by one person and the other one's understood easier by another person, so I just give you both of them. The question that I have this morning as a church, the question that I have as individuals in this body, why would we want to prioritize all these other things in our life and push the kingdom of God back in our minds and continue to just read over it? Yeah. Like I have obviously done. I quote Matthew 6:33 all the time. I've read Acts 1:3 because I've probably read Acts 1 and 2 more than any other two passages of Scripture in the Bible. I just, as a question that I have, my thinking is, how can we not talk about the kingdom of God, because he's laid it so heavily on the hearts of not just me. As I've talked to a few people about this, I've watched that vision explode in the hearts and minds of people in this church. Now, we will this year, we will study the Bible and we're going to find out what the kingdom of God is. Because that really is a question that I had as that was laid on my heart. I mean, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? That's a good question. And if you hadn't already formed that question in your head, I'm trying to put that question in your head right now. What is the kingdom? Well, I'm glad you asked and I'm glad you formed that question in your head. Here is a definition to the best that I could come up with. The kingdom of God is the supernatural government of heaven that carries power and authority to override the curse that entered the earth through Adam's disobedience. Now I want to say that again, because that, when you hear it just all in one, you're trying to process it. But now as you process it again, after I read that, here's what would be a good affirmation. So we're on, wow, yeah, that was a definition for the kingdom of God. It's the supernatural government of heaven that carries power and authority to override the curse that entered the earth through Adam's disobedience. Wow. Wow. That's too late. Jesus brought to the earth the kingdom of God. What he brought was the answers that faces every problem we have in today's world. We're needing answers, and he brought them. He brought them all. When the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, Satan's kingdom of darkness set up through fallen man's sin is overturned. It's displaced. It's wow, okay, I got it now. I can see. I don't need, this darkness is not in my life. I'm not dealing with darkness no more. Darkness indefinitely disappears when the light comes on. It's an amazing concept, but when you turn the light on, you can see. And if you try to turn the light on and it doesn't come on, your power source is messed up. So if you get the power source, understanding that God sent the kingdom of God, which illuminates, you have darkness in your life, you need the kingdom of God present. Well, what is the kingdom of God? It's a power, it's a strength that illuminates darkness, and it overturns the curse that entered this world through Adam's disobedience and our disobedience. All right, so the words that Jesus said are in red in a lot of Bibles. And you find his teaching all through his word. And it just seems every time I'm starting to read it now, I'm reading into it the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. I can't believe, as I've got this in my heart, how I see the kingdom of God every time you turn the corner. Every time you read anything about Jesus, he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And here's what he says. The kingdom of God is like. Well, Why is he doing that? Because we as his people should know the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to spend this year learning. We're going to know the kingdom of God. Why? Because I'm just telling you, if God's people only believe that he's alive and don't understand the way the kingdom should operate, then we're not going to ever see heaven be brought to earth. His will on earth as it is in heaven, we got to get an understanding of the kingdom of God so that we can make a difference while we're living here on planet earth. I understand we got heaven coming and it's going to be good, but right now you're not there. So let's learn about it so we can implement some of Mark chapter 1, verse 14. In the New Living Translation, it says, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last. That's what Jesus' words in red letters. We need to get that figured out, how to put it on the screen that way. That was what Jesus, the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. The kingdom of God, Jesus says the kingdom of God has come at last. See, they've been looking for it. Luke chapter 17. Verse 20, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, I love this. You got to see his response here. The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. Now, this is really good. Some translations say, for the kingdom of God is within you. Well, which one's right? Both. He's among, he's in. His people had missed this teaching. It was not what they understood the kingdom of God to be. People had a messed up concept of the kingdom of God. They were expecting a rule to come on earth in the natural governmental system. And what he says is, I've came to change the heart of man. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Yes. See, thank you for what you did, because the kingdom came. Absolutely. The kingdom has come. Yes. We will see, not only was this Jesus' focus, it was also his followers' focus. Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Paul went to the synagogue and he preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Why was he having to argue about the kingdom of God? Because they didn't get it. Yeah. And I'm watching Christians not understand that the kingdom of God needs to operate as it was set forth to operate. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. His way and through his people. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. What is all? All. It's heaven and earth. His kingdom rules over all. But here's the thing. You might go, it's not ruling here. And whose fault would that be? See, that's why God has laid it on my heart, because we've got a responsibility. Yeah. And we don't understand the kingdom of God. See, nothing's more powerful than the kingdom of God. How can we be living in defeat when we are under the kingdom rule? How can we live the way Christians are living when we have authority based on the kingdom has come? Man, it's just, I want to spend the next 3 months, as Paul did, preaching boldly about the kingdom of God. Here's what I can tell you. We're going to, and then we'll do the next 9 after that also. As we study the kingdom of God this year, here's what we're going to see. The Bible is the constitution of the kingdom of God. The Bible is the constitution of the kingdom of God. Now, the United States has a constitution, or I think they do. Not everybody thinks they do. I think they do. The Constitution tells how our form of government not should operate, but will operate. See, the Constitution, as an American citizen, the Constitution tells us how the government will operate.
Yeah.
Well, that's based upon interpretation. I know there's a problem there. Because we're interpreting it to not operate the way it was intended to operate.
Oh, that's good, Ashley.
So the United States has a constitution that tells how this form of government will operate. Well, let me say what the Bible does. The Bible tells us how God's kingdom will operate. And the Bible is the constitution of the kingdom of God. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but I think it's important that we know that. John chapter 18, verse 36. This is Jesus' word, and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, we live here, but he says, my kingdom's not of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. In the NLT, it says, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. See, we'll be talking more about that this year. In fact, next week, I'm going to dive in deeper to this about the kingdom of God and how we have messed up our thinking on this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Here's what John did. Everybody knows John the Baptist, and he's coming about talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. What he's trying to say is there's a kingdom change coming.
Yeah.
We should be John the Baptist and say, hey, there's a kingdom change coming. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. No longer will we be operating under the same kingdom mindset that they had operated for years. Here's what I'm telling you. We have to, as God's people, bring a change to our world and our circle based on us operating according to the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, come out of the kingdom of darkness and enter the kingdom of God. John was come out of the kingdom of darkness and enter the kingdom. We all understand this point. When you desire a U.S. citizenship, what is the easiest way to get your U.S. citizenship? To be born here. If you are born here, you are considered a U.S. citizen. So we understand to get a U.S. citizenship, you just got to be born here in the United States, and you're a U.S. citizen. So you're born into a natural citizenship.
Yeah.
You're born in to being a citizen of the United States. How do you get your citizenship in the kingdom of God? You're born into it. Boy, it's going to get really good.
Yeah.
You're born into it. Not born in as a natural citizen, but as a supernatural citizen. You're born again. You're born again. We got a bunch of born again believers. And the problem is you got a bunch of born again believers that believe the first thing he talked about over the 40 days is, hey, I'm alive. But what we've missed is living under the citizenship of the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people misinterpreted this verse. Well, my citizenship is in heaven, and when I get to heaven, it's all going to be according to what God has planned, and it's all, whoa, your citizenship is in heaven. I get that, but right now we're eagerly waiting on that. We're not there. So what we do is we study the citizenship, things that are available to us based on being a citizen of heaven, and we bring them here while we're waiting on Jesus.
Yes.
Boy, I just love this. The more I get talking about it, the more I'm like, ooh, this is good. What a year ahead. What a life-changing year ahead. We will be learning to live in God's kingdom. Kingdom just simply means government. That's all it means is government. Jesus came to bring his kingdom on earth, his government on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. Now, we've got to learn to submit to the rules and the reign of King Jesus. That's what we've got to learn. See, he rules, he governs you and I. How much are we seeing him govern what's going on in our world? You go, well, I'm not pastor. Well, then God's people, we're saying 80% of the United States of America is Christian. We're under the wrong government, come on. The government of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is its own government. And so we've got to learn how that operates. He rules, he reigns. Our emotions are under his rule. Our moods are under his rule. Our fleshly desires, which means our wants, are under his rule. Well, I just want this, I want this. According to the kingdom of God or according to the things of the world? See, learning to live under King Jesus, the kingdom of God, it changes everything for us. And we can go back to what John said, John the Baptist. Hey, there's a change coming. The kingdom change is coming. There's a change coming. And I think for God's people, God's will and purpose for our lives, for our homes, for our families, for our marriages, our businesses, our relationships, how we spend our time, when we start living under the King's rule and reign, we're going to find peace in all those areas. But if we're not living according to the right government, we're going to continually live in frustration. Matthew 13:33. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like, there we go. The kingdom of heaven is like, well, what's it like? It says it's like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. I like saying that word, permeated. I would love for God's people just to permeate our society. Yeah. See, I'd love for our God's people operating under the kingdom of God just to permeate our school boards. God's word so infiltered into our life, just infused into our life that we're operating according to the kingdom of God, our jobs and our works just get permeated. I just spent some time on that word and I thought, man, just like yeast, you can't put a little yeast in there and not expect it to permeate everything. It's going to get everything. This year, Christian Ministries church members will experience the kingdom of God coming within them, and it'll permeate not everybody around them, just that, but it'll permeate every part of your life. Every part of your life. Just permeate you. I don't even know if that's the right wording for that. It's just going to permeate you. When our lives are permeated with the kingdom of God, like yeast permeates dough, watch out. We're in a new place. Individuals will change. Your level of peace will just skyrocket. Your level of joy. Woohoo! Yeah, your direction of where you're going. There's just not going to be a question. You're going to be permeated. That's what the kingdom of God does. Your level of fulfillment, your things that you're doing, whatever you fill in the blank, here's the kingdom of God present. Oh, God, will you? Yep, I will, because I'm permeating your life. Yeah. Why? Because you're operating according to the kingdom of God. All you got to do, seek me first. Put me in first place. Don't put that paycheck on Friday in first place. I'm not saying go quit your job. What I'm saying is God provided the job for the paycheck. Yeah. See, what we got to do is we got to put the first.
That's right.
Seek first the kingdom of God in every area. And things start changing. When you as an individual within yourself start operating under God's kingdom and his rule, you will set happy as your course for life. You'll start being content as your way of life. You'll be satisfied. These are words that come under kingdom rule. See, blessed is your way of life. How you doing, man? I'm blessed. And in your mind, you're going, I wish I believed that. All of a sudden, how you doing? Blessed. And I believe it. Why? Because I'm under kingdom rule.
That's right. Yeah.
See, the kingdom of God. These words that we're looking to be operating in our life all of a sudden are there.
Yeah.
It only happens under kingdom rule. All of your life, all of it, if it is permeated under the kingdom of God, your relationship with coworkers,
yeah.
Come on, there's people in here who's got some trouble at work. That's not amen right there, Chapman. That's the wrong place. Your relationship at work. Man, I'm just waiting for that one to happen. Your marriage. Your marriage. I'm just talking about, Pastor, you don't even know what's going on in my marriage. I know, but God does. And if you'll just seek him first, you're going to watch that marriage come in line. I don't know what area it is that doesn't seem to be under kingdom rule. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I can't change everybody else. Nope, and you never will until the kingdom of God changes you. And when the kingdom of God changes you, you start realizing, wow, my health is starting to come in line. My activities are where they need to be. For Christian Ministries church members, 2022 should be like no other year you've ever experienced it as we, as a church, get unified and seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.